God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is from the first six verses of our first reading from Acts chapter 6. When we have the disciples in a little bit of a problem. The problem came up because there was a complaint. Can there be complaints in the church? The answer is yes. We have to realize that the church is full of saints and full of sinners. Fair enough. And that each one of these saints and sinners has a different viewpoint. And because of the differences in our viewpoints, we sometimes will have disagreements. Within those disagreements, there also may be complaints. Nothing wrong with the complaint. It shows a need. There was a need not being met. And that need not being met was that the widows were not necessarily being taken care of to the extent that the congregation thought they were going to be taken care of. And at this point, what we need here, we need some good spiritual leadership. Leadership based upon God's word and God's principles versus leadership based on secular principles. Let me begin with a secular principle, or sort of as a springboard into God's principle. Stephen Covey, in his book, The Seven Habits for Effective People, says we need to begin with the end in mind, even though this isn't what Stephen Covey meant, but it fits well with our text. Let's begin with the end. The end is that God has all people with him in heaven above. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's all people. That is the goal. And so how does God accomplish this goal? Plain and simple, God calls people like you and like me. We are called by God through holy baptism. We may remember the Apostles' Creed, especially Martin Luther's explanation to the Apostles' Creed. As in the second article, we are reminded on how, yes, Jesus Christ dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He purchased and redeems me with his very precious blood. And in the third article, we are reminded how God continues to call us, gather, and enlighten us. This is not something we do, but God is the one who does it. So it all begins with God and God's calling. You have been called by God in his name via holy baptism. When God's name was placed upon you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you were placed into a community of believers connected to the body of Christ. And now you hear this calling of God. God's goal that all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth is taking place. When as people we hear that call of God. But there is much more. As our text continues, the disciples, the 12, as it says, summoned the full number of disciples and said, getting back to our problem here, it's not right that we give up the preaching of the word to serve tables. Nothing wrong with serving tables, but now hold on a second. We have to begin with the end in mind. What's the goal? That all people are saved? All people come to the knowledge of truth? And how does the Holy Spirit call people? Basically, through his word and sacraments. And that was the apostles' job. To proclaim God's word. To proclaim the sacraments. Nothing wrong with waiting on tables. Nothing wrong with helping those in need. But let's not give up the proclamation of the gospel. Let's not give up God continuing to call us through that word and sacrament. Because if we lose that call, we will drift away from God. You see, we have to remember that. If we lose sight of God's word and sacraments, then we are drifting in our own direction. But as long as we are being reconnected to Christ through that word and sacrament, we are on the right path. Christ will make sure of it. So we have that new thing going on. By the way, can us as Christians do something new? The answer is yes. And so what was the spiritual wisdom, so to speak, that is given here? The decision was made to call some more people. These people were given a specific task to carry out the ministry to the widows. Why was the ministry of the widows so important? Well, we have to remember that during the time of the apostles, they didn't have things like Social Security. They didn't have things like welfare. And so if you lost your husband, very often you didn't have any means of making money. Basically, you may starve. So needless to say, the disciples, the Christian community gathered, they shared their resources, and they wanted to take care of these women. Fair enough. Sounds like a good idea. That was going on. But the apostles could not do it themselves. You want to call it delegation? That's fine. That's a secular term. I'd rather say the community of believers called deacons. And they called these deacons for a particular task. And Stephen, as our first reading for today, was very good at that task. But let's go into a different direction here. We are remembering our goal, that God wants all people to be saved. And this is done through God's word and his sacraments. Again, this is why we call pastors. Pastors to preach God's word. Pastors to administer the sacraments. Yes, pastors do some other things besides word and sacrament ministry. But what is always the highest calling? The highest calling is to proclaim God's word and to administer the sacraments. And that's where we run into a little bit of a problem with this plan here. The problem of our plan is that we sometimes deviate from that call. What happens when pastors spend too much time doing other things? The ministry of word and sacrament gets neglected. What happens when this pastor is spread too thin? There's not enough time to study, to prepare. What happens when the poor are neglected? Likewise, we run into another problem. And what happens when people are not willing to serve? We run into another problem. Needless to say, these problems come up because we're not listening to the call of God. The solution, how has God called you and continues to call you? Through baptism, you are brought into the body of Christ. Through God's word and sacraments, you are continually to be fed Christ. And so how does Christ, after you've been fed with him, seep out through you to others? And we call this, in one essence, vocation. Vocation is somewhat like that call, on how God has called you for different things. Now, very often we think of vocation as something like our job. Well, fair enough. Can God use you in your current work environment? The answer is yes. You'd be surprised on how you can show God's love. Yes, I know we live in a world where some employers don't want us preaching at the workplace. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about demonstrating God's love. Have you ever noticed that you'll find some people always greeting others? But then you'll find that there are some people who almost rarely will greet. They just sort of go about their business and they do nothing at all except for their work. They don't say hi. They don't try to encourage one another. They don't ask, well, how you doing? They don't necessarily open their ears. That's one way how we should not be acting. But the love of Christ, as it has filled us, should have a concern for all people, and not just a concern for the boss who can give us our next raise, but our co-workers. And if there are people beneath us, even them. What about the people who clean the floors? Are they not people? Are they not loved by God? Does not God want all people to be saved? And so do we treat them like people? Or do we treat them like second-class citizens. Remember the goal. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And through our vocation, even in our occupation, God can change your heart. And it can be demonstrated in relationship with other people. And it's not just in the workplace either. As Christians, you may have a vocation of being a parent. That's a whole nother set of responsibilities. How do you reflect God's love to your children? And it's not just children between 0 and 18. As parents, you are always parents while you and the children are living. Even if you're in your 90s and your children are in their 70s, yes. Also, likewise, you've been called into a family, a physical family. Again, do we treat each other with love and respect within these families or not? You've also been called, in one essence, and placed by God in a community. Whether you live in West Chicago or in one of the communities surrounding West Chicago, it does not matter. God has placed you there. How do you be that good neighbor? How do you be that good citizen? Do you abide by the rules? Do you encourage others? There are many things that we can do besides taking care of the widows. There are poor among us. There are people in need of hearing God's love and grace. Let's not sit there and say, well, there's nothing I can do, as we were singing that last hymn in that fourth stanza. There are many things we can do, providing we are hearing that call of God. Providing we are being connected to God's word and sacraments, which fill us. And then we see God's goal, that he wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And we want to help out. And God has placed us in many places in which we can make a difference. In which we can proclaim God's word, not from a pulpit or a soapbox, but demonstrating his love for people. You can and do make a difference. All because of Christ working through you. Christ puts you in a particular place for a particular purpose. Now let's get back to this call here for a moment. Very often when we talk about the call, we very often talk about the called and ordained, particularly the pastor. As a pastor, I've been called here by this congregation to do what? To proclaim God's word and sacraments. Yes, I do other things besides, but my main job is that word and sacrament ministry. Now, some of you may be saying, well, why can't I be called to be pastor? And let me use this as an illustration. I remember in my high school days, I would have to take a couple of buses to get to school, public buses, that is. And after I had my driver's license, I learned how to drive. I know how to drive. So why didn't one day when I got on the bus, I just said to the bus driver, why don't you take a break and I'll drive the bus? I'm capable of driving. I know the difference between the accelerator and the brake. I know about the turn signals and opening doors and which stops to make, especially since I had taken that bus route for about 4 years now in my senior year. That would be preposterous. None of us would ever sit there and say, okay, Mr. Bus Driver, take a break. I'll drive now. Why? Because it was the bus driver who has been called to do that task. It's his job, not yours. Likewise, as pastors, or as I as your pastor, some of you are more than capable of public speaking. Some of you are more than capable in doing other things. But you were not called by this congregation to be the pastor. Likewise, let's pay attention to what God has called you to. How has God placed you in your life? As a parent, as a citizen, as an employee, even a member here at Trinity in West Chicago. How can you reflect God's love that you have received through God's word and sacraments to those in need, so that God's goal, that he wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth is made progress toward. Again, we go back to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. That it is the Holy Spirit who calls, the Holy Spirit who gathers, the Holy Spirit who enlightens us. So if we're having a little bit of trouble in our vocation thinking, well, there's nothing I can do, we need to return back to the calling, to that spiritual leadership that the Holy Spirit is calling you into. How can you reflect God's love and forgiveness? The Holy Spirit has called you into that relationship with Him and will help you understand that. Christ is working through you to reach out to a world around you. So this day we give great praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First, He has called us into His holy body. Second, He continues to feed and nurture us with His own body and blood to strengthen us so that we in turn can share that wonderful news of Christ's love within the various places that God has appointed us. Yes, that's a little bit different than the corporate world and its view of leadership. But then again, we're not the corporate world. We are a community of believers gathered around Christ and Him crucified to tell the world about what Christ has done for you and for me and for them. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.